Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you all. It is so exciting to be here. It's exciting to be alive today.
It is.
There's a lot of people that didn't even wake up, and God saw fit that we woke up this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Not to please ourselves, but to please our Heavenly Father. That is what we are here to do. We are here to please Him and Him alone. Amen.
Amen. So,
you know, did your mama ever say, don't be a people pleaser?
That's it.
Yes. You have to add, be a God pleaser in mind. But I just want to encourage us all to please God with our lives. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to hold up this book right here and tell you guys, hey, this right here is the best book you could ever read.
Amen.
This is life. This is life. God said in His word that He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
More abundantly.
Here at the School of the Prophets, I want you guys to have life. Not just a life where you just wake up every morning and just do what you do. God bless you, Pastor Miles. God bless you, Stephanie. God bless you, Sister Debbie. I see you guys on. And, you know, I just want to encourage you guys to just do what God has called you to do. Forget about yesterday. Forget about the mess-ups, the mix-ups, the hold-ups. And just do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Never let what happened in your past determine your future.
Preach that, Apostle.
It does not. Oh, my God. I felt the anointing on that. Sometimes letting your past dictate their future. Stop it.
They stuck. Get unstuck.
Get unstuck. And let's just do what God has called us to do. This is a brand new day. And guess what the Bible says? His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. So guess what, you guys? You got new mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have new mercy today. I'm going to say that one more time. You got some new mercy today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm excited. I'm excited about the kingdom. I'm excited about what God is doing. What He's saying, yes, the days are evil. We're in the last days. But guess what? We are the light of the world. We are the light and the salt in the earth to bring God into the earth realm.
Dang.
So that people can know who God is. Think about that. Mm. So that people can know who God is. Even Christian folk need to know who God is. Because some Christian folk is just doing stuff and it ain't the right stuff.
As my niece said, doing too much.
Doing too much. And you got prophets out here prophelying.
Come on.
You got prophets out here saying stuff that don't even line up with the word of God. Run from them.
Teach us, Apostle.
Let they infect your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so serious. Because let me tell you something about prophets that do things and say things that are not truly in alignment in accordance to the word of God. They cause you to slip.
Mm.
They have the potential to cause you to slip and to get into wrong stuff. So what you want to do is stick with the word. And if you can't trace what they're saying in the word, then guess what? We need to move on. We need to move on. I'm going to say it again. Move on, people. Just move on. If you can't trace what a prophet is saying to you in the word, move on. Leave them alone. Don't listen to what they're saying, because it's a trick of the enemy nowadays to get people as stuck in religion, stuck in off words, stuck in off prophecies, and get you to focus in on what they want you to hear. See, the enemy is very slick. He'll use just enough of the word of God to bait you in to mess you up.
That's it, Apostle.
The prophet of the Most High God. Yes, the Most High God. You know, and I'm getting ready to do a teaching on how God is when He ministers to us.
Mm.
It's gonna be awesome, because God, He's so wonderful. That, I mean, I'm just excited today, as you guys can tell. it's okay about being excited about the things of the kingdom.
It is. So,
when people go to football games, basketball games, they show out.
Yes.
How come we can't show out for Daddy God?
Come on.
How come we can't show out for Him?
That's what we got to do, Apostle.
Let me take a sip of my tea on that. We need
it's
to be
a good day.
Out. Yes, we need to be showing out for God. For we're here talking about the prophets. We're at the School of the Prophets. It was going to be a 8-week course, but I didn't even get through half of my teaching in the 8 weeks. So I said, why should I just, you know, cut it off because I'm not done? God ain't done. That's right. That as a prophet, as a prophetic person, as those of you who are hearing from God and trying to give the word out, what God is telling you, it's important that you don't cut it off. Mm-hmm. I had my own idea of when I wanted to end the class, but God had another plan, right?
Amen.
Take it slow, deliver the message so that it can be heard and well received and broken down. Amen. So that's what we're doing. All right. So we've been talking about, you know, different types of prophecies. We've been talking about the Old Testament prophecies. We talked a little bit about New Testament prophecy. Now, today I want to talk about different types of the importance of accurate and clear delivery in the word that God gives you. The importance of accurate and clear delivery in what God gives. I'm just not say you, all of us. Mm-hmm. It needs to be accurate, and it's important. The reason it's important is prophetic ministry cannot be, can't overstate it enough. People need to hear from God. And yes, we can hear from God from the word. We hear from God when God talks to us. But sometimes people just need that confirmation that they heard right, or they need confirmation for encouragement. Okay, yeah, 1 second. I was just looking at the, let's see. Give me one moment. Yes, if you guys can hear. Yeah, if everyone can adjust, if you're going to be brought up on, if you want to be brought up on stage, please adjust your cameras so that we can see a clear shot of everyone, because this will be on television as well as on the FIFO network. So we want to make sure that everybody's in clear view and your camera is not glitching. So as soon as I can see everyone's face clearly, those that want to be brought up on the stage, I will go ahead and bring you up once you are squared away in that camera. Okay, so the importance of accurate and clear delivery, you don't want to confuse people. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to, I'm going to bring up Apostle Ron. There you go. If you can adjust your camera a little bit. Your face is a little above the camera. Yep. Thank you. Okay. So, yeah. So you want to deliver the word of God with accuracy to ensure that message is accurate and it's clear, so that the people that you're talking to can understand it clearly and act on it accordingly. Understand it clearly and act on it accordingly. Now, what happens when you give an inaccurate message that's not clear? An inaccurate or unclear prophetic message can lead to confusion, misunderstanding, or even harm to the person that you're speaking to. Mm-hmm. Now think about this. When we are delivering a word of the Lord to somebody, it has to be clear. Don't get your words all jumbled up. Don't be unsure. Don't walk it back. If God is telling you to say something, be very clear on what the Lord is saying. Amen.
Amen.
We want to make sure, because you don't want any misunderstanding. How many times have you heard a word from the Lord, or been talking to someone for that matter of fact, and you misunderstood what they were saying and it caused you to feel a certain way? Because it was a misunderstanding. You didn't accurately hear what they were saying, and it made you feel some type of way. That is something that as a prophet, you never want to do. You want to make sure that your words are accurately clear in what the message that you're delivering. Now, in order to ensure that the accuracy and clarity of a prophetic message that God is giving you to give someone is, listen, I can't stress this enough. It is important to cultivate a strong relationship with God. You have to have a strong relationship with the Lord. Amen. How do you do that? Through prayer, reading the scripture, spending time with him. And what that does is it helps to ensure that we're hearing God's voice accurately and interpreting his message correctly. Amen. So many times, again, you know, you have all type of stuff going on out here now, and it's very important that as we interpret what God is saying and deliver it to someone, that you are doing it according to the word and the will of God, not the word and the will of ourselves. Amen. Amen. And so another thing is, when you are delivering a message from the Lord, please make sure, I'm going to say that again, make sure to use language that is clear and easy to understand. Okay? So if a person that you're ministering to does not know the these and the thous and the Elizabethan English of the Old Testament, don't use it. They'll be looking at you like, what are they talking about? And then they'll be thinking you crazy, and they sure not going to receive the word of the Lord if the way that you are delivering the word sounds off. We have to know our audience. You have to know as a prophet who you're speaking to. Are you speaking to someone saved that know all the church lingo? Are you speaking to someone that's unsaved that don't know the church lingo? So we have to make sure that our language is clear. And you said, well, this is elementary. No, no, no. To novices, to people that are just getting into prophetic ministry, they may not know this. So that's why it has to be taught. This is why this is the School of the Prophets 101. Amen. Because we're building the foundation so that everybody can get a clear understanding of what's going on. So again, that language has got to be clear, easy to understand. You know, avoid using the old English, you know, verbiage of the Bible when you're talking to someone. And it's always important to deliver, listen, prophetic messages with humility, with grace, with love. And when you leave from talking to somebody, you want to make sure that they feel valued and encouraged. You should never give a prophetic message to someone and they want to go somewhere and kill themselves. I'm so serious about that. I have seen it. I have seen people or even heard people. I've even spoken to some prophets that when they, when I got done talking to them, I felt bad. I wasn't encouraged. I felt really bad. I was like, oh my God, is something wrong with me? Maybe I shouldn't even be in ministry because I just got a word that made me feel horrible. As a prophet of God, as I said before, the only thing we tear down is the kingdom of darkness, and we build up the body of Christ. We build up God's people. We edify, we encourage, we instruct. Okay. Now, when a prophetic word is delivered, is harsh or judgmental, it's unlikely that it's going to be received. You can bring correction without judgment. You know what? I believe, we can judge righteously according to the word of God, but right now we're talking about how we deliver prophetic words to people. We don't make them feel judged, and we don't cut them up. We're not going to be harsh. So if there's not clear and accurate delivery of a prophetic message, it can lead to several dangers. Okay. First and foremost, an inaccurate or unclear message can cause confusion. Okay. It can cause confusion. It can cause doubt, and it can even cause fear in the people that we're speaking to. What does the Bible say? The Bible says God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But if our delivery of the word that the Lord has given us, you know, if it's not done correctly, if it's not done in humility and in love, it can invoke fear in people, you know. So we don't want to do that. Now, another thing is, in an unclear or inaccurate message, guess what else it does to the prophet? It can damage your credibility. It damages your credibility. That's why we better be spending time with God, spending time in the word, tear ourselves away from all the stuff we talked about last week, distractions. Get rid of the distractions in your life. Get rid of every distraction. I'm going to say that again. Get rid of the distractions, because see, the enemy nowadays, what is he doing? He's putting up distractions for everything. Every time you turn around, it's a distraction. People seem to be more pulled into the see me, hear me, be attached to me, the I, me, my syndrome, all of that, you know, make us so busy that we can't spend time with God, that we can't do what God has called us to do because we got to do all this other stuff. You know, get up early and pray. Get up early and get in the word. If you know that your day is going to be busy, guess what? You know that you need to get up early. We can't just get up by the fly of our pants and say, I'm going to spend 10 minutes with God and then I'm going to get this big prophetic word That is not going to happen. And guess what, prophets? You can't go off of yesteryear. We need a fresh refilling, a fresh anointing, a fresh touch from God every single day. Because right now we're in a place we better be hearing from God. So we'll know how to go in and come out as prophets. We talked about that last week. God will allow you. He will help us to know how to go in and come out, how to deliver a word. Is that word, you know, for right now? Is it what type of word is it? God will show you. So again, unclear and inaccurate messages can damage the credibility of the prophet or your whole ministry. Because you run around one too many times and tell and say something that's inaccurate that God didn't say. Run around one too many times and say something to the wrong person, they will spread it out like wildfire. And then after a while, nobody want to hear you because of what they heard. Now, it's a big difference if people don't want to hear you because you're teaching truth and they are carnal Christians or they're just sinners and they don't want to hear it. Big difference in you being an inaccurate prophet, okay? Another thing is, again, last week I talked about be yourself. Be who God has called you to be. I'm going to be Apostle Allison J. Cross and can't nobody else be me. Hallelujah. If you know what I went through to get here, you wouldn't want to be me. Ain't that right, Apostle Christmas and Apostle Ron? Ain't that right? You can't walk the road I walked because you don't have my shoes. I don't want to walk the road you walked. I don't have your shoes. If I try to step into where you walked, I may not be able to handle the terrain. Apostle Ron, you was in the military, one of those the Marines, and you know you can't be messing around on somebody else's terrain, can you?
Not at all.
You better stay where you're supposed to be. Stay right where God has called you, okay? Now, another thing that happens when a prophet begins to give unclear and inaccurate messages, it leads to harm to both the prophet and the person that is receiving that message, okay? If the message is misinterpreted or acted upon incorrectly, it can lead to negative consequences. See, as a prophet, people look up to prophets. People respect your word. And if you give an inaccurate word, a word that is not from God, a word that's going to build up your flesh, things like that, you know what I'm talking about? That person may go out and act on something that you said in the flesh, and it could cost them their life. Yeah. Acting on something that God didn't say because you wanted to make a name for yourself. No, right. Do not do that. We don't do that. We don't get into the realm of the familiar spirit. And we're going to be talking about that too. Because if you get into the realm of the familiar spirit, now, I don't know if I mentioned this last time we were together, but if God has forgotten your sin and thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness, how is it that a prophet can get that word if they're not hearing, if they're quote unquote hearing from God? There is not a word that's been forgotten by God that he's going to dig it up and give it to a true prophet and say, now, I forgot it, but I'm going to go and remember it so that you can speak on it. That's messing around in the realm of a familiar spirit. When you begin to get messages, words, you hear something. I just felt that in my spirit. You better find out what spirit you was feeling around in.
Amen.
I'm serious. We have to be very, very close to God so that we don't get caught up in familiar area, the realm of the familiar spirit. It will have you off. It will have you proper line. It'll have you saying stuff about people. You know, I mentioned also last week about how is my address going to benefit you? You could prophesy to me what my address is. How is that benefiting me or you? It's of no benefit. You don't need to put me out there like that. Don't be putting my address out there. I don't want all of Facebook to show up in front of my house with picket signs, you know? And so as a prophet, you know, make sure that that may be just for you and that person. It may not be for a delivery that's in front of everyone. So we have to make sure that we know how to deliver the messages when they're supposed to be delivered. Amen?
Amen.
So what are some of the mistakes that happen with people when they're delivering prophecy? When we deliver prophecy, this is some common mistakes that we have to avoid to ensure that there's accuracy and clarity of the message, okay? You can't mix personal opinions and biases with the prophetic message. You can't do that. Don't put your opinion in there. My Pastor Apostle Amanda, she always said, leave your butt out of it. But this, but that, leave it out. Don't, you don't have to go there. Don't mix your personal opinion. See, when you're delivering a word from the Lord, you don't want to mix it. Just think about, I got one, hold up my cup of tea. Forgive me, I got two whole tea bags in here, but it's good. Okay, so you see this cup of tea right here, right? I got my cup of tea right here. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you think about the word of God. You mix your opinion with delivering a message, or you're biased in some areas, is like taking one drop of urine and dropping it in my cup of tea. And because I don't see it, I'm going to still drink it. Not going to happen. Whenever you mix your opinion or your bias in with the word of God, it dilutes, it perverts the message. It doesn't make the message clear, you know, and it becomes tainted. So it has to come from a pure place. Whenever you are ministering prophetically to someone, it has to come from a pure place. It cannot come from what you thought, what you said, what you did, how somebody made you feel 20 years ago, and now you still got that going on. And because you feel a certain way from 20 years ago, I'm talking to me too, because you feel a certain way, then you're going to deliver that message based on your opinion. We can't do that. Now, another thing is a common mistake when you deliver in prophecies, overemphasizing or underemphasizing certain aspects of the message. God may have given you a whole sentence, but you're going to just take two words out of the whole sentence you gave him, that he gave you, and you're going to emphasize those two words, and you're going to forget about the rest because it seems like those two words hit home more than what everything he said. So then you're going to stay and emphasize those words. You want to give the message exactly the way the Holy Spirit has given it to you. Nothing more and nothing less. Amen. Apostle said feelings, nothing more and no more feelings. Amen. Get your feelings out of it. See, when we get our feelings involved in delivering a message, then we mess up. We mess up. Get your feelings out of it. It ain't about what we feel. We walk by faith. We walk not by sight. We hear what thus saith the Lord, and we keep it moving. Amen? Keep it moving. And yeah, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all mess up. But guess what? We mess up and we repent. We get up and we keep it moving. Never let the enemy make you feel like you can't be used because you made a mistake. You spoke out of turn. You spoke too little. You spoke too much. Just move on and ask God to help you in that area. And what happens is, as the Holy Spirit helps us, you'll begin, the more time you spend, you'll get them little nudges in your spirit. Don't say that. Shut your mouth. Be quiet. Or you need to say that. Why aren't you talking? Didn't I say that? You know, God, the Holy Spirit is so wonderful because he will help us when we don't know how to help ourselves. My favorite saying is, he will help us if we let him. And he will. If we let the Holy Spirit help us in delivering the word that he's given us, he will. Now, another thing is, you don't want to use vague and ambiguous language that leaves the person confused or uncertain about what you're really saying. See, some people try to be so deep. Some people try to be so, oh my God, that just, I could shake their necks. They try to be so deep with the word and the these and the thous and go get the thesaurus and interpret what I'm saying, you lose the people. You don't want to be so deep that you don't have to go and dig up the lexicon to give a message from God. You don't have to go and break down the Hebrew, the Greek, and the Aramaic to give a message from God. Just open up your mouth and say what he said. That's it. You don't have to be super deep about that. Now, prophets, when you are delivering a message from the Lord, listen to this, don't be confrontational. Do not be confrontational. We're not fighting. We're delivering a message. So don't be confrontational or accusatory. Okay? Be loving. And if God is giving you a message that is to bring correction, do it in a loving and constructive manner. Amen? Do it in a loving and constructive manner. You know, the Bible says that it's with what love and kindness right. have I drawn thee. So if we go as prophets before people or congregation or one person or a small group, if you're judgmental and you're accusing, if you're confrontational, they're not going to receive what you have to say. Somebody might even jump up and try to beat you up. That's the world that we live in now. So we have to use wisdom as we are ministering to the people of God. So we want to, you know, we want to avoid that. Another thing is you don't want to not follow up with the person that you're ministering to give guidance and support. They may need support, ongoing support. Now, I will say this as a prophet, oftentimes the support comes from if they're attached to a local assembly, they have a pastor, do not take the place of their pastor, okay? Do not take the place of their pastor because, as I said before, if they are in counseling and you're giving a word of confirmation, encouragement, edification to that person, and then they feel drawn to you, they don't want to keep coming back and keep coming back, have they talked to their pastor? Are they being mentored or ministered to by their leader? And if they are, and they don't like what their leader's saying, one of the things that people do is they will come to a prophet and they'll try to get a word from a prophet because they're not satisfied with the word that their leader has given them. So we don't want to get caught up in that whole scenario because boy, oh boy, that could be a hot mess. Okay. That could really be a hot mess. Now, you have to be accountable. There is accountability. That is an essential aspect of the prophetic ministry, to be accountable to someone. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are accountable to the Lord, but we need to have, as leaders, we need other leaders to be accountable to, because we are not perfect. We mess up every day in word, thought, or deed. The Bible says that. And if you have strongholds in your life, or you've had strongholds in your life in the past, and you're not, you know, and you're getting over them, you need to be accountable to somebody. We all do. I have someone I'm accountable to. Find you someone that you can be accountable to. So when you're struggling in a certain area, it could be drinking, smoking cigarettes, weed, cussing, you know, which are low-lying stuff that should have been gotten rid of a long time ago. But people struggle in various areas, and people need help in various areas. So get yourself someone that you can be accountable to. And I'm not saying that you as a prophet have to spend hours on the phone every day. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's just to check in. Hey, how you doing? I'm good. You good? I'm good. Fine. And if you have an accountability partner, guess what? God is going to let you know what's going on with them if your heart is right. If you are helping someone go through some situations in their life, when they're going through, God may, you know, touch your heart. Hey, you need to call them, tell them they're going through this. And sometimes he'll tell you exactly what they're going through, not to bust them out, so to speak, but to help them, to let them know that God loves them and he helps them. Yes, and this is part of the school of the prophets. Well, I thought you was going to teach us how to prophesy. No, no, no. This is to get your foundation right. Because as you move up, as we get the prophetic ministry 201, then we're going to be talking about other aspects of prophetic ministry. But this right here, if your foundation is jacked up, I tell you what, it's going to be a situation. Because if the foundation is not right, then it's going to be a situation. Amen. Accountability, apostle said, accountability protects us. Yes, it does. Proverbs 11:14, it sure does. It protects us. Now, as a prophet, when you are accountable to somebody, it literally provides checks and balances that help ensure your integrity and the integrity of the ministry and the accuracy of the prophecies. Because anybody that's under Fine Brand Ministries, I'm checking you out. When you don't think I'm checking you out, I'm checking you out. If you are affiliated, associated, attached to this ministry, you better believe I'm checking you out. I'm checking your word of wisdom, your word of knowledge, what you preaching, I need to hear. Because, and this is important, prophets, you have to know, amen, fruit inspector, you have to know those that labor among you. Remember in the New Testament when the Bible says that, you know, there were people that crept in unaware. People will creep into your ministry to destroy your ministry.
True.
They will creep in just to destroy it. Don't care nothing about you, but they'll act like they do. But they're there on assignment from the devil. So when you have someone that you're accountable to, don't you know those people can see as well? They may see what you missed. Because sometimes, you know, we have big hearts. You know, we love people. We want to help people. But in our big-heartedness, we get close. And then we can't hide the feet. So that's why God says, get somebody in your circle that can see, that can hear, that have the heart of God and your best interest at heart. And don't want nothing from you but to see you succeed. That's it. As a prophet, you don't want nothing from anyone except to see them grow and succeed in the things of the kingdom. When you look back at the Old Testament prophets, they were very sincere. They wasn't trying to get nothing from the people, the children. You never, ever heard them trying to strong arm them for nothing. Now, if you go and look
in the things of the kingdom,
when you look back at the Old Testament prophets, somebody got me. Be sincere. They wasn't trying to, I think, yeah, there you go. When you look back at the Old Testament, think about the sons of Eli. Now, they were a hot mess. The Bible calls them wicked, evil sons of Belial. You can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 2, I believe. And I'm going to go there a little bit because they were ministers. They were called to the ministry. You're called as a prophet to the ministry. They were wearing the linen ephod. You're wearing the glory of God. We're carrying around the glory of God in our belly. They were supposed to be doing what God told them to do. We're supposed to be doing what God told us to do. But guess what they did? They were sleeping with the women. They were strong arming God's people out of the offering. They were taking the flesh hooks and dipping it down into the pot. And they were bringing up the meat. And they were taking the offerings that was belonged to God. They were taking it for themselves. And the Bible says that that caused people to abhor giving. It caused the people... Back in the Old Testament, I believe that's where it started, where you know how you ask for an offering or a pastor asks for an offering or they take up an offering and everybody start getting all tight-lipped and they while they go to shrinking up in their pocket, disappearing in their purse because they don't want to give. I believe a lot of that started back in the Old Testament because that's the first time when I read that people hated giving. That's the first place. But it was because of what the priests were doing. They were strong arming God's people. So as a leader, as a prophet, never use your gift, your ability to strong arm God's people out of money. Don't do it. Whoever will give, God will touch their heart to give. You don't have to call money lines because you're a prophet. Never do that. You may not be under this ministry, but if I catch you doing it, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation. So you don't want to do that. Another thing about one of the key aspects of accountability in the prophetic ministry is having a system of oversight. You got to have that in place. You got to have that oversight in place. That can be a leadership team. That can be a board, you know, spiritual mentor who's responsible for providing guidance and support to you as a prophet or your team. Now, you don't want to get somebody... That's why you have to pray, because some people just want to connect to you to rob you of the people that God has assigned to you. I've had that happen. And let me tell you something. That's why it's important to have people in your circle who don't want nothing from you. They don't want your money. They don't want the people that's assigned to you. They're just there as a support system to help. And as a prophet, you need a support system. You are going to need a support system that will help you and assist you. Now, another aspect of being accountable is having the process of evaluation and testing the prophecies. You got to evaluate and test those words. And if you're just out there willy-nilly saying some of anything, who testing that word? Who checking that word? There's got to be somebody in your life equal to you or a mentor that can say, hey, that didn't sound, that wasn't quite right. I think maybe you'll need to go walk that back and really go back and pray about that, because that didn't sound quite right. It didn't hit my spirit right. It wasn't even lined up with the word of God. But if you don't have anyone in your life that you're accountable to, when you begin to make a mistake, you know, and we all make mistakes, there's nobody to test their word. So what happens is with the young prophets are, they'll keep going on that same system thinking that they're right because there's no one there to correct them. You have to have correction. Now, when you look at accountability and the aspect of the process of evaluation and testing prophecies, this can include seeking confirmation from other prophetic voices. So if you don't have a mentor, if there's someone else in that you know that you respect that are sound doctrine in the word, I'm gonna have to put that in there because it's some foolishness out here today, people. Sound doctrine in the word, it's okay to reach out to them. Now, in addition to evaluation, accountability, another thing as a prophet, it involves personal responsibility as well. Prophets and prophetic teams must be accountable for their own actions and attitudes. You can't blame if you missed it. You can't say, well, so-and-so said this, so I missed it. No, we take accountability for our own actions. If you messed up, if you misspoke, if you said something out of order, if you said something out of turn, something that did not line up with the word of God, go ahead and take accountability for what you did, what I did, and go back to that person, okay? Go back to that person and let them know, hey, when I said this, that was not quite accurate. This, and you may have just misspoken, need to just make sure that you clean it up, you know, not in a way that you sweeping something under the rug, but you clean it up in the aspect is, I need to make sure that we're clear on what I was saying to you so that it can't be, you know, misconstrued. Very important. I was teaching Sunday school a couple of months ago. And you know how it is when you start teaching, you can just get ahead of yourself and you just, that anointing hits and you just start talking and the words start flying out your mouth, right? Not bad words. I'm saying words, period. You know, they just start rolling. And so when I was teaching, I made mention of something to do with, I think it was like Eli's, the priesthood of Zadok that was, you know, given to, he was given, the priesthood was given when Eli messed up, Zadok ended up getting the priesthood. And then I said something in pertaining to that in Jesus, and it was not quite accurate, okay? And when it was brought to my attention, they was like, well, can you explain this? And then I went back and I looked at my notes and I said, oh, and I, you know, I said, oh, this is what I said, but what I meant to say was this. So as a prophet, what do? If you're in front of a whole bunch of people, you need to get up in front of them same people and correct yourself. So the next Sunday, I got up in front of the whole Sunday school class and I brought correction to myself because I misspoke and I meant to say one thing and I said another. There is nothing wrong with doing that. Number one, it's going to shut the door of the enemy. That's going to shut the enemy down so that there can't be a willing accusation brought against you, right? And it also shows your humility. It really does. If you can't correct yourself in front of people, something is wrong. Well, I ain't going to say that because people ain't going to think I'm a real prophet. Come on now. No, it don't matter what people think. We are, as a prophet, if you make a mistake, if you misspeak, go ahead and go back and correct that, okay? Now, when we are as being prophets and being accountable, yeah, that's pride. You want to make sure that when you are seeking confirmation, please seek your confirmation from God. Don't ask the person that you just prophesied to, is that confirmation? You don't have to do that. What happens when you do that? When you do that, you're opening the door to them to begin to pull on you in a way that you don't need them to pull on you. Okay? You don't have to do that. You don't have to say, is that right? Now, they may give a testimony about it later on, but you don't necessarily have to do that because it just opens the door to unnecessary conversation. And then you're down a rabbit hole that you can't get out of. You may be at the altar, you know, you say, is that right? Now, it's a funny thing happened. One day I was ministering on an altar. I don't remember what city I was in, but early on in my prophetic ministry, I said, does that bear witness? Is that right? The woman took the microphone and started having a whole conversation. Now, what was I going to do? Snatch the microphone back from her in front of 100 and some people, 200 people? No, I just smiled. Okay. Won't ever do that again, because it opens the door for people to have too much conversation. And then it begins to undo what's just been done. Okay. So we want to be careful with that. People will take that microphone for their 2 minutes of fame. They'll have a whole testimony going on. And oh my God, it'll be 20 minutes later and you still trying to figure out how you're going to get that microphone back. Okay. Been there, done that. So that's something, just a little pitfall that you want to make sure that you don't fall into. Now, again, accountable for your own actions. With accountability, it also means being willing, now listen to this, to submit to authority. Jesus submitted to the Father. When he was here on earth, everything that Jesus did, he walked in such a way that he taught us everything that we needed to know to move forward in ministry. He even said he didn't do nothing unless the Father showed him. He said he didn't do nothing. So he was accountable to somebody. He said, well, I'm only accountable to God. Okay, keep on thinking that. Keep on thinking that the only person in your life that you need to be accountable to is God. And yes, he should be our first accountability. But here on earth, we need somebody to put us in check when we get out of order. Everybody needs somebody to put us in check when we get out of order. You know, you may be just having a bad day. You may be saying some stuff that don't line up with the word of God because of life. Life happens, things happen. But if there's no one in your life as a prophet that can say, hey, I see you going through something, let's have a conversation. Now, you know, you don't need to be talking like that. You don't need to be saying that. But if we don't, if we don't have anyone that we can go to or someone that can come to us in honesty, you know, in pureness of heart and say, hey, I see you struggling. Let me help you. I see your words are mighty off this week. Let me help you. I see them scriptures that you've been quoting is not the correct interpretation. Let me help you. This is why we need accountability, okay? So we need that. Another thing is, 1 second. Let me pull up my next notes. You gotta have ethics. The ethics of the prophetic ministry. What does that entail? Speaking only what God has said, people. Speaking only, a prophet must be sure that the message that they're sharing is truly from God and not their own thoughts or desires. We said that before, it's worth saying again. You can get in your feelings, you can get in your emotions. You'll start saying stuff out of what you know a person is going through rather than what God has revealed to you that they're going through. Okay? We can minister to people where they're at based on what we know. Absolutely. But don't make that sound like that is a word from the Lord if you already know what's going on. You're lying to your own heart. That's very, very, very dangerous. Because if you do that, what is that? That's deceitful. You open a door in one area, prophet, that is not lining up with the word of God, what begins to happen is other stuff start creeping in. Okay? The enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If he can't kill you up front, he'll try to kill your credibility. He'll try to kill the word. He'll try to kill you in any way that he can. All right? So, you know, we want to make sure that we only speak what God is saying, and not our own thoughts, not our own desires. And it's important to take time to discern and confirm the message before sharing it. Okay? Now, for a new prophet, and we're talking to prophets in training. We got some new prophets on here. We got some medium prophets, and we got some well-cooked prophets on here, well-baked, okay? And so when God gives you a message, young prophets, make sure that you don't just blurt it out of your mouth before you can take the time to discern it before you share it, okay? Don't just jump on the phone and say, "Ooh, I just heard this from God. Let me call." Okay, how seasoned are you? Do you need to maybe call your mentor? Do you maybe need to bounce that off somebody? And also go and see if you can find what you're about to speak to somebody. Is it lining up with the word of God? Again, when it comes out of your emotions and your feelings, it's just going to be that, your emotions and your feelings. Another thing is, we talked about this, speaking that word in love and humility. Prophets must always deliver their message with love and humility and compassion, even when the message may be difficult to hear. Even when it's difficult, you can still be loving in a difficult message. If I know that somebody, I'll just say somebody is very aggressive and an abusive person, I'm going to go to them and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have my peace be still with me. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if y'all caught that, but anyway, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to tell them, you know, with love, you know, you're a little bit rough around the edges. You got some anger issues and God really wants to deliver you from that. As opposed to saying, you just mean and evil. I mean, come on. What do you think is that is going to rise up in that person by you delivering that message like that? There's a way that you can deliver. I talk to angry people every day and I maintain my calmness and they eventually check this out. They come down to where I am because I will not go up to where they are. That's a word for somebody. As you are ministering to people, if they're upset, if they're angry, if they are overboard, if they're off the hook, off the chain, whatever you know, about to explode, go ahead and just bring them down to your level so you can minister to them. Amen. Now, this is very important. All of this is important, but prophets, you have to maintain confidentiality. You have to maintain confidentiality when things are shared with you or with even with the prophetic word that God is giving you to give a person. God may not want you to tell the world what you just told somebody. Prophetic words are often personal and sensitive and important, and it's important for us to respect the privacies of those that receive the prophetic words from us. We have to do that. Prophets should only share prophetic words with the intended person who have been authorized to receive them. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Say amen, somebody. Hey, I learned this the hard way. I learned it the hard way. I really did. Growing up in the prophetic ministry, Apostle Ron, you already know the story from Muskegon, Michigan.
Amen.
Growing up in the prophetic ministry where you are basically self-taught, you and the Holy Ghost, because there were not many mentors. There weren't, where we grew up at, where we lived, there weren't any prophetic mentors. Mm-hmm. There was there.
No.
We were basically on our own with the Holy Ghost. Now, we had teachers. We had pastors that did a great job in grooming us in the area that they were appointed to groom us in. But they were not, I didn't grow up under a prophetic mentor until I met an apostle out of New Jersey, and Apostle Christmas, you end up knowing her, Apostle Joy Osborne, who's going on to be with the Lord. Now, that woman of God was a piece of fire. She was fire. The all-night prayer meetings that you're going to sit here and you're going to get delivered or you ain't leaving. You know, and I want to say, where is the ministry like that now? You found it. Fire and Rain Ministries, Apostle Ron Ministries, Apostle Christmas Ministries. These are ministries that all about deliverance. We want to, you know, people got to be set free. And I believe that God is raising up prophets, not just to prophesy, but to see what's going on in your life and get that stuff out of there, to eradicate what the enemy is trying to do and begin to speak words of encouragement and restoration into your life so that things begin to line up with the word of God. So You gotta, you know, now this next thing I'm gonna talk to you prophets about is you gotta avoid manipulation and control. Yes. Okay? That right there may physically get you killed. You begin to manipulate people, they will begin to attach to you in an unhealthy way. And then, you know, you got them all manipulated in your camp. And then when you try to sever, they might try to kill you. See, the enemy is so crafty that we don't, you know, he goes around, the Bible says it, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we want to avoid manipulation. We want to avoid control. And we must never use our gift to manipulate or control others. I'm going to give you this word if you give me $20. I'm going to give you this word if you walk with me. Remember that song, walk with me, Lord, walk with me. That's the all. Hey, I'm telling you, if we don't have the Lord walking with us, it's going to be a situation. You can have 1,000 people carrying your briefcase, you know, your microphone, whatever. But if they're not walking with the Lord as you are walking with Christ, and you're trying to control and manipulate them, it's going to be a hot mess. Okay? We can't manipulate people into doing God's will. They may not want to do his will. They just may be following you for the attention that they get for being a part of your ministry. Hello, somebody. I know I'm talking right. I know I'm talking right. And for those of you that are going to hear this on television, stop letting people manipulate you and don't be manipulating people. Now, another thing is, as a prophet, old prophet, medium prophet, young prophet, be open to correction. Be open to correction. Prophets are not infallible. And we all make mistakes, right? In delivering messages, we make mistakes every day. I know I do. Everything I say and think is not always wonderful. You know, it's not. It's just not. Why? Because we live in a fallen world and we've been influenced by the world since birth. Okay, so we want to be open to correction. It's important to be open to correction because that allows us to learn. If you think because you're a prophet that you cannot be corrected, you've already missed it. You already missed the bus, okay? And I say that because if you can't be corrected, then you already got pride and arrogance in operation. And the Bible talks about the fact that pride goes before the fall, right? So if we can't be corrected, that's literally a spirit of pride. Remember Numbers chapter 16? Dathan and Abiram was trying to overthrow Moses. And Moses, you know, they had a chance. They had a chance to get out of that. Now, there was another person with them. Do y'all remember? There was another person. His name was On, O-N. It was originally Dathan, Abiram, On, and Korah. Korah was the ringleader. But the closer they got to trying to overthrow Moses, the prophet, On backed up. He said, you know what? I don't like what y'all doing. I think I need to get up out of here. Anytime. Yeah, I'm going to wash my hands of y'all, because guess what? The Bible says in Numbers chapter 16 that the ground opened up and it swallowed everything and everybody up in their camps. It was trying to overthrow Moses. It swallowed them all up. And then it said the earth closed back over them. That had never happened before. Okay? So what am I saying here? Don't be bucking up against the prophet. If you know that that's a man or a woman of God and you're a young prophet and learning, sit down somewhere and learn. Don't be bucking up against them, telling them they don't know what they're talking about because you know better than they do. No, you don't. When I first started out in ministry, I had two scriptures and I thought I could, you know, I thought I was ready to pastor a church. Oh my God, how green was I? I thought I was ready to be the greatest prophet that ever drank a cup of tea. No, I just knew a little bit. And I was excited about what I knew. And at that point, I thought I knew everything.
Dathan, Abiram, On, and Korah.
One has their...
I just...
Okay. And so I muted it. And so we have to make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do and not trying to overthrow authority. As a young prophet, you may feel like you know something. And God does show us at various times. But don't get the big head. That's an old term. Don't get the big head and you know, end up in a situation. Now, another thing that I want to talk about is, how do you handle prophecies that's not from God? How do you handle that? How do we handle, anybody know how you handle prophecies that are not from God? Number one, handling prophecies that are not from God is a critical, it's very, very critical in prophetic ministry. And a couple of things that I want to mention is, number one, you want to test that prophecy. You want to test the prophecy before accepting any prophecy, okay? It's essential to test it to ensure that it was from God. Does it align with scripture? Does it edify? Does it bear witness to your spirit? If it doesn't meet that criteria, it may not be from God. Just because, again, I'm telling you, just because someone can come and tell you about yourself don't mean they're getting that information from the realm of the Holy Spirit. They may be getting that information from the realm of the familiar spirit. So we have to be very careful. We have to test the prophecy. We have to seek wise counsel, consult with other mature prophets or believers, especially those, you know, that are prophets, to help you discern the prophecy's authenticity. You have to do that. If you are a novice, you need to do that, okay? And get their insight and feedback to help you determine whether or not that was an accurate prophetic word. It don't make you no less of a prophet. It makes you actually a wise prophet. Amen? Pray for discernment. Pray for discernment. Praying for discernment to know the source of the prophecy. Now, think about that. Why am I praying for discernment to know the source of the prophecy? The Bible says there's many false prophets that's gone out into the land. Doesn't the Bible say that? Apostle, one of you guys, can you grab that scripture and put it in the chat for me? There's many false prophets that have gone out into the land. This is why we need to pray for discernment to know the source of that word, because I don't want to receive a word that came out of the realm of the familiar spirit. We don't want to do that. If you receive a word that came out of the realm of the familiar spirit, you just opened yourself up. Hello, somebody. You literally, thank you, 2 Peter chapter 2. All right, you've just literally opened yourself up. If you could post that whole scripture up there. Opened yourself up to other things coming in, okay? You've opened yourself up to other things coming in, okay? So we want to seek God's guidance and direction on also what to do with that prophecy. I tell you what, if there's something going on and that word is not accurate, I will tell you to your face, I don't receive that. If you bold enough to tell me something that God didn't say, I'm bold enough to tell you. So let it be known to you and the universe, I don't receive that. So ain't none of the cohorts of the devil coming in. Because when you open yourself up, you open the door. When you speak a prophetic word, make sure that that word is spoken in clarity. Amen. Now, another way to handle prophecy that's not a word from God, you need to address that issue. Everybody say, address the issue. We have to address that issue. It's very important. So if you determine that the prophecy is not from God, address the issue with the person who gave you the prophecy. It's okay to do that because maybe they're a novice. Maybe they don't really know what they're talking about. Maybe. But if you don't address that issue, see, that may help them to grow as well. That may help them to say, you know what? I really thought I was hearing from God, but maybe I need to go back and spend a little more time with God. Maybe I need to, you know, get someone that I'm accountable to as well. But if you don't address the issue as a prophet and you're receiving a word from somebody, that just really exacerbates the whole situation. It just makes it worse because now you just received a word. You didn't go back and address it. they think they're still right. So we have a responsibility to address words that are not accurate. Now, one thing that you want to do, you want to be gentle, you want to be compassionate as you seek to correct someone that's in error. You don't want to just come up there with a big sledgehammer and let it down on them. You want to use wisdom and, you know, be gentle and not be, you know, judgmental and accusatory and mean and angry and pointing the finger. You know, we don't want to do that. So you want to test the prophecy. You want to seek wise counsel. You want to pray for discernment. You want to address the issue and you want to provide guidance. So when a person is wrong, what do we need to do? If we're addressing the issue and that prophecy, we feel that it is not from God, we want to provide guidance. Now, when you provide guidance to them, what do you want to do? Providing guidance, correction is to help that person grow in their gift of prophecy. Whenever you're corrected, you grow. I grew through a whole lot of correction. My mentors corrected me. Boy, I thought I was getting whoopings left and right. Now, you know what you said wasn't right. Now, they was a little harsh on me. Apostle Osborne, she was always say, "Now listen here, sweetie pie. That was not God." That was her favorite word, sweetie pie. She said, "That was not God. And you know it wasn't God. Why did you say that?" I thought I needed to. No, it ain't about what you need or thought. You make sure that that word is accurate, that's coming from God. So as you are helping other people, I'm talking for the more mature prophets, we are teaching them how to test and discern prophecy, okay? To avoid these same mistakes in the future. I mean, you may go around the mountain once or twice, but I don't want to go around the mountain again. I'm done with the mountain. I'm on the Canaan land. Hey, man, we frying bigger fish now. Now, another thing is, when there is a prophecy that has been given or a prophetic word, don't hold on to that when you have to, and it was given to you, and you have to bring correction. You have to provide guidance. You want to also not allow unforgiveness to get in your heart, because the word could have been a word that could affect your life, your livelihood, your family. That's why it's important that we seek God, that we know who he is, that we say, you know what, Lord, I want to give this word, but I want to make sure I'm discerning what I'm hearing accurately, because the words that release could affect people's very lives. So if someone has prophesied to you and it's affected your life in a negative way, you got to forgive them. If you are going to be accurate and you're going to go and do what God has called you to do in the prophetic ministry, you can't hold on to stuff. Okay? All right. Forgive them and move on. Just think, if Jesus wouldn't have forgave us, if he already knew that he had to forgive us in order to go to the cross before he got there. Amen? So who are we to hold on to anything that, you know, is not, I would say that has hurt us? Let's talk a little bit about prophetic intercession. I hope this is helping you guys today. Prophetic intercession. Now, when you talk about prophetic intercession, it's an important aspect of the prophetic ministry, and it involves praying and seeking God's direction and guidance for specific people, for situations, nations, what have you. When you look at prophetic intercession, it literally goes beyond traditional prayers that involves, you know, just praying a prayer, "Oh Lord, help me." Amen. When you begin to pray, intercede prophetically, you literally are getting a download from heaven and you are speaking it forth through prayer, and it's coming to into existence. Now, let's see here. One of the scriptures I want to bring your attention to is Ezekiel 22:30, which says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I have found none." So when you look at this verse portrays the importance of intercession for people who stand in the gap for people. Here we see, hey, they were standing in the gap, right? And making up the hedge. when you are interceding prophetically, you are literally standing in the gap for somebody. You may be standing in the gap for a person, a nation, a church. Amen. And so that's part of prophetic intercession. Another scripture that supports prophetic intercession is 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, which says, I urge them, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, for all those in authority, that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. Interceding. They were interceding, right? So what does this passage emphasize? It emphasizes the need to pray for leaders and all people and, you know, one another. We need to pray for one another. Now, when we're talking about prophetic intercession, it involves praying and petitioning God for specific guidance as to how to pray. Guidance, direction, intervention based on the insight that the Holy Spirit is giving. Not the insight of your emotions, not the insight of your feelings, none of that. It's based on the insight that God has given us, the download from heaven, so to speak. So what do we want to do? We want to seek God's direction. Before we begin, you know, before we begin intersect with prophetic intersection, we want to seek God's direction through prayer and fasting, asking him to reveal his will and purpose for the prayer. Now, think about that. We need to even ask. See, we don't want to pray amiss. You know, praying amiss is praying evil prayers according to the word of God. So, but if we are praying according to the will of God, when we begin to intercede, we want to ask God, Father, what is the petition that you would have me to pray? What is on your heart for me to pray today? So I won't just be praying off the cuff. I won't just be praying whatever comes to the top of my head. Don't you know the enemy messes with us in our thoughts? As a prophet, because our words have power, when we begin to get into intercession and pray things, guess what starts happening? Things start moving. Things start shaking. Things start moving. Things start shaking. I'm going to say it again. Things start moving and shaking. And so if you're praying something that's not according to the will of God, as we should be praying, things are moving and shaking prematurely or either totally out of order. So we have to be careful. We want to listen. If we're going to be engaging in prophetic intercession, we want to listen to God's voice. As we engage in prophetic intercession, listen to the voice of God for guidance and direction. And he'll give you, he may give you one word. He may give you a phrase. He may give you one sentence. Don't add to that and don't take away from it. If God is giving you, if he just say, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, pray that. That's the key right there. Pray what you hear the Father saying, not what you think you need to hear or what you need to pray, excuse me, but pray what the Lord is telling you. We want to decree and declare, speak out of God's promise and declare his truth over whatever situation, over the person that you're interceding for. And I'm going to say this, I can't stress this enough. Prophets, stop getting in your feelings. Stop getting in your emotions. Stop praying your feelings and your emotions and pray the scripture to back up your prayer. Hello? Pray the scripture. You can't go wrong, okay? You can't go wrong. You know, if you're praying for someone and you don't know what to pray, just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you on how to pray for a person or a situation, and he will do it because he said he'll lead and guide you into all truth. But if we're praying what we want to pray, which are evil prayers, according to the scripture, praying amiss, then we begin to, you know, deviate off into the wrong area of prayer. So now it goes outside of the realm of praying prophetic intercession to praying what I want to see happen in your life. See, what I may want to see happen in your life, Apostle Ron, Apostle Christmas, it may not be what God wants to happen in your life. That's why I need to back up and say, God, what would you have me to pray? God, what do you want me to intercede today for? What is your purpose for this prayer? What do you want me to say? Do you even want me to speak today, or do you want me to just shut up? Can anybody go a whole day with just being quiet? Can you imagine? Can you imagine outside of work if you just went a whole day and didn't say nothing and said, God, outside of what I have to do, I'm just going to be quiet so I can really hear what you're saying. I ain't going to be on the phone. I ain't going to be on the book. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to just be quiet. God is helping somebody today to study to be quiet. Okay. All right. So you have to stay focused, prophets. You got to stay focused. You know, keep your focus on God and his promises as you intercede. Avoid getting distracted, okay, by negative thoughts and emotions. Negative thoughts and emotions again. The enemy is the master manipulator of our minds. He'll try it every time. That's why we have to cast down every thought and vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we have to bring into captivity every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have to bring them in. As you are prophetically interceding, cast them thoughts down. Cast them down immediately. Get the devil out your head. Turn on some scriptures. Turn on some worship music. Bombard your house with the presence of God. Tell the devil he has no right. He has no entryway into your mind, your thoughts. He is not going to enter in into this prayer. Hallelujah. We have to stand your ground in the spirit. Prophets, come on. What you doing? Stand your ground in the spirit and stop bagging up. Stop it. Amen. Stay in line with the perfect will of God. Yes, surrender to God. So as we decree and declare what God is saying, we speak his truth over the situation of the person. Oh, wow. Huh. Wow. I just said something. Did you catch it? Speak his truth over the situation or person that you're interceding for. And use again the scripture. Don't speak your truth. We all got our truth, don't we? They truth, our truth, and then there's God's truth. We're going to stick with God's truth. Stay in focus. Submit to God's will. Ultimately, prophetic intercession is about submitting to God's will and doing what? And trusting his timing and plan. Be open, people. Come on. Prophets, be open to any direction or redirection that God may give you as you intercede. He may start you praying down one vein, and he may stop you dead in your tracks and say, now go over there and pray for this. Stop you in your tracks while you're getting your prayer on. Now stop saying that. Now go. See, being a prophet and being a prophetic intercessor, we are open for our direction to change at any moment. But we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit so that we ain't being led by our own flesh. We're not being led by that old inner witness of our own spirit. You know that tries to operate too. When you get your feelings and emotions involved, hey, I've been there. That's why I can talk about it so good. I've been led by my emotions. I've been led by my feelings. I prophesied to people out of the intent of my own heart. What? Yes, I have early on because I didn't know any better. But when you know better, you do better, right? Hallelujah. So that's some of the things. So when you talk about, as we talk about prophetic intercession, one thing that you want to remember that it is not about us. It's about seeking God's will and remembering to bring his kingdom here on earth. It requires humility. We've got to be humble. We got to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. We're the church, and we have to have a willingness to submit to God's leading. Whether we understand, prophets, whether you understand it or not, submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit every time. I don't understand everything that God is saying and doing in my life, but I'm submitting to his will. And as we submit to the will of God, you'll begin to see all this other stuff dissipate that you've been struggling with. Many of you young prophets are struggling because you won't submit. Yo, yeah. You won't submit. You're prideful because you got a prophetic gift. Come on now. Mm-mm. Now, so when you look at what prophetic intercession is, it's a form of prayer where we as intercessors pray with insight and revelation from God about these situations, about these people and things of that nature. Okay, so you want to get that insight. Now, how do we engage in prophetic intercessions? I'm glad you asked. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places." Now, I want to say this. As a prophet, don't be getting into spiritual battles in your flesh with people. Very easy to do because you know what you know because God has shown you, but we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. When someone buck up against you or against the word that you've given and you know that that word is from the Lord, they are not bucking up against you. That's a spiritual thing. So stop acting like that's a natural thing. It's a carnal thing. So stop acting like it's a spiritual thing, okay? Now, the one thing that this scripture in Ephesians 6:12, it reminds us that our battles are not physical, but spiritual. And therefore, if we're engaging in intercession or spiritual warfare through prayer, we have to know that it is a spiritual battle and not a natural one. So stop getting mad at people. Just stop getting mad at people. I stopped getting mad at people a long time ago, and I started realizing that I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm wrestling against the spirit that's in that person that need to be delivered. But if I come off at them in a harsh manner, in an angry, judgmental tone, you may lose that soul, okay? All right. The next scripture is James 5:16, the latter part, "The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much." If you are the righteousness of God, every time, prophet, you open your mouth, it should be availing much. Every time I open my mouth, something is going to happen. That's why you have to be careful of your words. And so when we look at this, the scripture encourages us to pray with passion and faith, knowing that our prayers have power and bring change. Listen to that. Faith as well. Passion and faith. Do you even believe what you're praying? Let's think about that. Are the prayers that you pray, are they just, something that you heard somebody else pray? Or something that you pray, but do you believe your own prayers? Do you believe that what you're saying by faith, God is going to make good on his promise? Okay? So we have to, number one, believe what we're praying. Hallelujah. All right. And so the next one is Joel 2:28. "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." When you look at this scripture, it talks about the Holy Spirit and the manifestation, you know, of the gifts. And so as we pray, as we intercede as prophets, we ask the Holy Spirit to give us insight and revelation for the situations that we're praying for. Amen. Revelation. I want to know what I'm praying for. Lord, you pouring out your spirit upon me for the visions. What is the insight, Lord, you want to show me about this vision? What is the insight, Lord, you want to show me about this dream? Okay. Scriptures often speak about pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the manifesting of prophetic gifts. Now, when we are in prophetic intercession, we can ask the Holy Spirit again to give us that insight. We want that insight. Now, and I was reading, making mention of this before, Romans 8:26, one of the scriptures I love. "Likewise, the Spirit also help our weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Going back to what I just said, when we praying out of feelings, when we praying out of emotions, you may be praying evil, wrong, amiss prayers. It says, "But the Spirit himself maketh intercession with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So if we don't know what we ought to pray for, ask the Lord and he'll tell us. And we're getting ready to wrap it up. Okay, so we don't always know what we should be praying for, but the Holy Spirit can help us by interceding for us through us. Amen. The Holy Spirit can intercede through you. Hallelujah. Last scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins and heal their lands. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, when you look at this scripture as it relates to prophetic intercession, you know, the scripture speaks about the power of repentance. The power of repentance. Everybody say repent. But the kingdom of God is at hand. So it talks about repentance and humility and prayer. So as we engage in prophetic intercession, we can ask God to reveal any areas of sin that is in our lives or pride in our lives and repent of them, knowing that our prayers will be heard and answered. Okay? This is very, very important. So remember, prophetic intercession is not about us. It's not about our abilities, but it's about the power of the Holy Spirit working through us as we seek God's heart and pray with faith, pray with passion. I mean, who was that in the Bible where his sermon was so boring that he fell over dead and he had to get raised back up? Don't let your prayer be like that. Okay, had to run down and go raise the man of God back up because his sermon was so out there. Okay, yeah, but you know what? When you start praying, you'll get that push, you'll get that wind, you'll feel that go further, push past, you know. And so, as we seek God's heart to pray with faith and we want to pray with vigor and passion and excitement, we can trust that our prayers as prophetic intercessors will make a difference around us. It's going to make a difference to the people that you're praying for. Some people, oh, you ain't got to pray for me. Mm-mm-mm. If God say pray for them, pray for them. Okay. And so we're going to end there. Next week, we will pick it up. We're going to be talking about the obstacles to prophetic intercession. And so right now we're going to open it up. We're at the end of the class. Any questions or comments? If you have comments and you're on Facebook, go ahead and put those comments in the chat and I'll be able to see them. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Apostle, it's like the whole class was just to get down to the end. When you in my prayer time this morning, my God, mm-hmm. when all I heard the Lord say was just have few words today.
Wow.
Amen. That's all I heard at 6:30 this morning. Be a few words today and just listen.
Amen.
Oh God, yes. So I'm having my ear is just listening. And the final thing I want to say is, if we would just begin to hold prophets accountable, mm-hmm. if we would begin to just call out, be bold enough to call out the things that's not of God.
Right.
We have power and authority to call it out. And that's why we have prophets gone wild, because no one is holding them accountable.
Right.
And I know it's because of that thing called fear. You don't want nobody to cuss you out. You don't want nobody to shoot you. But you have to be bold enough and know that God be for you. He's more than the world against you. Right. And if you're going in power in his name, mm-hmm. he's going to protect you. But we got to begin to call a thing and let people know that you're lying. That's
yeah.
not the word of God.
Right.
And then they'll get somewhere and sit down. But until we become bold, become emboldened with the power that we have, they're going to always be loose cannons, because right. nobody's reeling them in. So it's things and platforms like this
uh-huh.
that's giving me the boldness to say, oh, no. That's, show me in the word of God.
Right.
And maybe that's the better way to say it, instead of saying, no, you're lying. Show me. I'm like Stevie Wonder. I want to see. Show me where it says in the word what you're
right.
saying.
Right.
And I don't have to argue with you, but just show me. So we have to begin again to just have people clarify what they're saying, because who what word are you giving? In other words, right. Mm-hmm. So we just need to be bold enough to say what God has instructed us to do, and stop because silence, to me,
it's not golden.
That's it. It's not golden, and silence means you agree.
Yeah.
You many times you are in agreement with what they're saying if you're not saying anything against it.
You know, you said something that I probably need to bring up this week. It's part of next week's class, but fear.
Yeah.
As far as fear goes, fear can hinder us from stepping out in faith and praying, you know, as an intercessor. Mm-hmm. What God, and as bringing correction, it'll hinder you. And God is not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound. Anything, Apostle Ron, before we wrap it up today?
Hey, it's a blessing. The class is, man, this is rich, man. It's really rich. I really love the fact that what you're sharing by the Word of God is really sanctifying the young prophets internally, because, you know, you're helping understand that even though you're gifted, there must be a sanctifying process that's taking place, that your gift can be credible. And you know, a lot of people are gifted, amen. We, you know, the gifts and callings of God about repentance. And a lot of times when young prophets begin to move without any real accountability, amen, because they're gifted, amen. And then they begin to move quickly and without accountability, the enemy takes advantage of that. So it's really the way you fine tune that to make it, I mean, where, look, this is where accountability, prophetic ethics, you know, all the involvement, it was tying those pieces together. It was beautiful. And I think I like the fact that what emphasized is the fact that, because what I heard is the sanctification process. It's a purification of the gift. And what I mean by purification of the character of the prophet. So the word can be accurate. The word won't be released be out of pain. Right. I think we all been there one time I'm gonna say it like this. We prophesied from our soulish realm,
right?
We prophesied from the mind, will, intellect, and emotions that are broken, because we may have been broken through leadership, we may have been broken through experiences, and we want to speak, and we speak it, I would say, in the form of what we consider prophecy.
Yeah.
And so forth. But I like where you got into the intercession part. I like, because you know as well as I know that prophets, the grace of intercession is one of the characteristics of a prophet. That intercession is, you know, being able to stand in the gap for someone and pray for people. But the unique thing that, as I mentioned, as you were sharing, is God will use you to pray for your enemies. God will use you to pray for those who hurt you. And in doing so, you are healing from the person, from the experience of the abuse or whatever, whether it's been spiritual abuse, whether it's been no matter where the source. So here's a prophet has been positioned to pray for the abuser or pray for the one that hurt them. And so here's this cultivating process. Now watch this, what I love about your intercession. The true release of intercession, or the effectiveness of intercession, is birthed through compassion.
Right.
It's birthed through compassion. And so here you are. Jesus was moved by compassion.
Yes,
and
he
Jesus
was.
Jesus was able to effectively intercede because of his compassion toward those who still hated him.
Yeah.
He had compassion toward those who rejected him. And even when he went to the cross, the ultimate act was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so here is, and this is a beautiful thing, what you release, Apostle Allison, the love of God that is being birthed by process and coming through the prophet. Because what's unique, I'm gonna say this, guys, what's unique about the prophet is their love relationship they have with the Father. There's am I right, Apostle? There's a unique love relationship that the prophet has to the Father, that he or she begins to obey the Father even unto death. And man, this is really good. This is for the prophets, guys. This, you know, you there's people on here, and I pray that your prophets, praise God, But only a prophet can begin to embrace this language, because a lot of prophets have been broken in a process. They've been broken, and God is doing things. And this is awesome, Apostle Allison. This is rich today. This is rich. Real good.
Amen. You know, that scripture that you were alluding to is, let's see, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. It says, okay. And to you which hear, love your enemies, do them that fear to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despise you. Until we get to that point, we don't need to be saying nothing. Seriously. It took me years to get there where I could pray for my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for their soul salvation.
Mm.
I'm going to tell you something. When I was coming up, I think I was about 10, 11 years old. And this girl in our neighborhood I was terrified of her because she just looked so mean. And one day she beat me up for no reason. Man, I was so hurt, scared, terrified, and everything. I carried that around with me for years. One day, even when we got to be grown, I looked at her and I felt that fear come up, and then I began to feel hatred.
Mm.
I was carrying around hatred in my spirit for this girl for beating me up when I was about 10 years old and didn't even realize it until I saw her again. See how tricky the enemy is to get seeds down in your spirit? Now I can turn to her and say, I'm praying for your soul, and I don't feel no clenches, no evil, no ill will, none of that. But we have to do an internal inspection as a prophet of ourselves to make sure that we are not harboring things in our heart that would be ill will towards somebody. And it may came in as a baby. Something may have came in the womb, you know? So we have to say, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Lord, I can do what you called me to do, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I think that's it for today, guys. I mean, I really enjoyed this. I could sit up here and talk for another hour, but I will not do that to you guys. All right. A couple of things. We'll be back here next week. If you guys desire to sow a seed, you can do so. And there is my Cash App. I finally got it right, Apostle Christmas. All right. And you know what, guys? I tell you what. If God is giving you a ministry, if he's giving you like a church or even a ministry outside of church, it's online, and you want to be on television, hit me up. We are on the Roku. We have the streaming network, which is on Roku, Apple TV, the Fire Stick. We have a mobile app. You can catch us on podcasts on iOS and Google, and you can also catch us on four channels in North Carolina, in Carrboro, Hillsboro, Chapel Hill, and Durham. We're on those four channels. We'll be bringing Grand Rapids, Michigan online in a couple of months. We'll be on TV in Grand Rapids, Michigan as well. And we're going to be adding Columbus, Ohio, and a lot of other cities where, you know, God is opening doors. So if you desire your ministry to be on television, go ahead and you can reach me at 252-764-5685. So, you know, I look forward to you guys being on the Fivefold Network. It's phenomenal. Go ahead and put it on your Apple TV, put it on your Fire Stick, put it on your phone. Check out the content. We got the School of Prophets on there. We got Apostle Christmas is on there. She has some really good stuff coming up, and you want to make sure you like and follow her as well. So that is it for today. We're going to wrap it up now, but if you guys want to stick around for after conversation for about 20 minutes, I'm going to go ahead and end the broadcast. If you have a link, you can jump on over here to StreamYard, and we'll have about a 20-minute conversation. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.